WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Now, listeners, we conclude our fifth anniversary Earth Week experiment, our Brian Lehrer Show Plastics Challenge. Fifth anniversary because we first did this in 2019. On Monday, we invited you to challenge yourselves to notice how many times you encounter single-use plastics all week, and which ones do you think would be the easiest or hardest to avoid? So what did you notice? Time to report back. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Did anyone write down the plastics you used? Keep mental notes? Was there anything that really surprised you? What did you find out, especially if you haven't done this exercise with us before? Did anyone physically hang on to your single-use plastics this week? How big did that pile get? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Call in or text and just name one or a few of the single-use plastics that you either can't avoid or successfully avoid in your life already, and anything you have changed personally at any time or have had trouble changing. 212-433-WNYC. And if you weren't new to this week and just want to report on your observations about single-use plastics in your life and your attempts to minimize them, that's okay too. 212-433-9692. And joining us again to wrap up the Brian Lehrer Show Plastics Challenge is Judith Enck, founder of Beyond Plastics, an initiative that works on plastic pollution issues. She's also a professor at Bennington College and former EPA Region 2 administrator, meaning she ran the Federal Environmental Protection Agency for New York, New Jersey, Puerto Rico, the U.S. Virgin Islands, and eight Native American nations. That's what comprises EPA Region 2. Judith, welcome back.
Oh, I'm so happy to be with you. Thanks, Brian.
And I will put mine on the table first. Few things I noticed, and some of these observations aren't new, but I noticed them again, and most of them are obvious, but garbage bags. I'll ask you in a minute if there's any way around that every few days. Lots of single-use plastics and things ordered for delivery. In one case, when I ordered a meal, and in one case, when I ordered a product. Both came with the outermost layer being a plastic bag that would presumably be used just once. Lots of kitchen uses in addition to garbage, like a freezer bag, where the bag gets soiled enough by the food. That one I actually have eliminated in my life, but I noticed from the time that I did, I still have some freezer bags in my cabinet. So, oh yeah, freezer bags. You know, if you don't want to freeze something else in it because it gets too dirty, it's a single-use bag. And I'll say I went to a Yankee game last weekend, and I saw that drinks come in plastic cups that in most cases get left behind at the person's seat. That's probably thousands of single-use plastic cups after every game, because I don't think I saw even a recyclable symbol on the bottom of those cups. And that's presumably thousands in every game in every stadium. So those are a few of mine. Listeners, how about yours? You want to jump in on any of those, Judith?
Sure. And first, I want to say we don't have to be perfect, because it's impossible to avoid plastics until we adopt new laws that drive innovation and change, which is pending in Albany. I don't have a good answer for you on the garbage bags. And, you know, you can get them made from recycled content. If you compost, your garbage won't smell as much. But I do want to talk about the Yankees Cup. The New York City Council recently adopted a law with tremendous leadership from Eric Goldstein at Natural Resources Defense Council that now allows New Yorkers to bring their own refillable containers, your own water bottle, for instance, into large stadiums. So who likes to waste money buying bottled water? I won't make the same case for beer, but you can bring your own cup now to big stadiums. That should be taking effect soon. On the meal delivery front, boy, is that a challenge, especially during COVID. People ordered out a lot. We wanted to support local businesses, restaurants. New York does have, New York City has a law in place, and other places should adopt it, called Skip the Stuff, where you do not automatically get plastic utensils and straws and condiments unless you specifically ask for it. But I think a much better piece of information for people is there are small businesses popping up. One that comes to mind right away is called Deliver Zero. And you can, if the restaurant is enrolled with Deliver Zero, you can get your food delivered in reusable packaging. And then it gets returned to the restaurant. Deliver Zero arranges to pick it up. It's washed and sanitized and used hundreds of times. I think that is the future for food delivery. And we've got to get the big apps like Uber Eats and Grubhub to embrace reusable packaging. People in New York City now have that option at select restaurants.
That is good information on some choices that people can actually make, even though we know, and it's happened to me, that you don't check, you purposely don't check that you want the plastic utensils. So you're not supposed to get them unless you ask for them, since that law went into effect in New York, and then you get them anyway. So
yeah, it's going to take time. Talk to the restaurant. You can even, you know, that's a violation of law if they automatically give you the utensils and the condiments. You know, we have the utensils at home if you're eating at home. So talk to the restaurant and then report the violations through 311.
Alice in the East Village, I think, is trying to really go as far as she can go on this. Alice, you're on WNYC with Judith Eng. Hi there.
Hi, thanks. Yeah, I compost. I compost in two ways. I put the vegetable in the Union Square compost, and then the other I put in the boxes that they have outside. I take glass to reuse places. I wash out plastic bags, and I never buy garbage bags because the garbage, I just use the bag from the kitty litter, and the kitty litter is all flushable. I mean, it just, to me, it's not that hard. I don't understand it. And I bring containers to places. And if they won't use them, I often don't go there. I don't support them.
Thank you for all of that. You want to, I heard you react, Judith, to that garbage bag option. Do you have to have a cat?
No. But, you know, I think the key on the garbage bag issue is if you compost, your garbage is not going to get that wet and smelly. So you can use any kind of paper bag. For garbage. It doesn't have to be a giant plastic bag.
Good one. I'm going to play a clip from after your appearance on Monday's show when we were setting up the plastic challenge. Because after you were on, we got a caller who really got a little scared about one of the things that you said about heating up plastics. That is food that comes in microwavable plastic bags. So let's take a listen to what Rob in Randolph, New Jersey, was concerned about.
One thing that Professor Eng said that really threw a chill through me was the not using plastic inside the microwave. I buy these green beans that are come in a heat-in bag.
Right.
I'm wondering how bad, you know, how bad that really is and how much damage I'm doing to my health and the health of my family.
And Judith, I couldn't answer his question because I'm not a scientist in this realm, and you didn't mention specifically the leaching from plastics that are used in closing, you know, microwavable vegetables. Do you have a take?
Oh, I sure do, and I appreciate this call. Heat can increase the leaching of chemicals from plastics, and 16,000 different chemicals are used in a variety of different plastics. So I really want your listeners to understand that it is a mistake to put plastics in the microwave. I'm talking about plasticizers, which make plastic more flexible and durable. One of the most common is something called phthalates, which is linked to a number of health problems, even at low levels. So phthalates have been linked to increased risk of cancer, diabetes, reproductive disorders, neurological impairments. I am not saying that if you microwave your green beans and the green beans are healthy, that you're going to have that health impact. But I am saying that phthalates, even at low levels, have been connected to these health problems. So look, many years ago, I used to put like easy, quick, microwavable dinners in the microwave, and it tasted like plastic. And that's when I stopped doing it. But I really want to emphasize that heat can increase the leaching of chemicals. So don't put any plastic in the microwave. And that also applies to any kind of bags that, like for roasting or for steaming. Do not heat those bags, either in the microwave or just in boiling water. And particularly if it's something that you eat a lot, you know, some chemical leaching is not good for you ever, but if it's once a year versus once a week, that's something you really need to pay attention to.
Yeah.
And I think on Monday I mentioned avoid microwavable popcorn because right. The inside is coated with PFAS chemicals that also leach.
So should your friends at your old employer, the Environmental Protection Agency, do studies and risk assessments of things like green beans in microwavable bags to see how much health risk there actually is? I don't know if it's been quantified based on your answer.
It would be helpful if the EPA or other regulatory agencies did that, particularly the FDA. But there is enough independent science that links particularly problems with phthalates and all the illnesses I rattled off. I haven't seen anything that says, okay, if you microwave plastic, you know, once a month, once a week, what is the health outcome? But we definitely don't need to wait that long to know that it is not a good thing to be doing.
We are with Judith Enck, the founder of the group Beyond Plastics, as we wrap up our fifth anniversary Brian Lehrer Show Plastics Challenge for this Earth Week 2024, fifth anniversary because we first did this in 2019, where we invite you to notice the single-use plastics in your life during the week and call in with what you noticed, and Judith's commenting on ways to reduce them. We're going to get into a little more of the politics as we go. And I'm going to ask you about a plastics industry commercial, Judith. I don't know if you've seen it. I'll hold this thought for the moment. On MSNBC, of all places, that I saw this morning. So we're going to get to that. But first, we're going to get to Michael in Manhattan. Michael, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, Brian. I have become aware of, and I actually took Judith's class and mentioned this at some point, prescriptions in America in 1922, there were 6.7 billion prescriptions filled. And if I have to assume that the majority of them were delivered in the orange plastic bottles that I think everyone's familiar with, and they're made from number five plastic, that polypropylene, Judith, is that correct?
Correct.
And it's not easily recycled. It often contains a lot of additives like lead and cadmium, and it's thrown into landfill. And in Europe, I had a friend who moved to Europe recently, and I asked him to look into their method of delivering prescriptions. And he sent me back a cardboard box which contained blister packs of pills, and you just pushed them out as you needed them. And not only the added benefit was that on the top of the cardboard box, the medication, and I can't tell what else, was put in Braille. I tried to start something called Stop the Orange Menace, and I actually put up an email, stop.orange.menace, and I don't know. I went out on Earth Day and I gave out papers asking people to write to their congresspeople about this, and
I want to jump in for time and get Judith to respond on these number 5 orange prescription plastic bottles.
Yeah, we are contacted a lot on this. So thanks for the plug for my class, which is available online to auditors. And that the Orange Menace thing could apply to a number of problems in the United States these days. But it's billions of these little orange number 5 plastics. And in most communities, you can't recycle it. I've spoken to my own pharmacist and said, you know, can you at least have a drop-off recycling program? She said no. Interestingly, I was just contacted by a company recently that is manufacturing aluminum prescription bottles made from recycled material. And can, when you're done, you just pop it in your recycling bin like any other aluminum. I asked the guy a bunch of questions. He said it is FDA approved. He worked in the pharmaceutical industry for decades and was appalled by the volume of plastics used by pharmaceutical companies. So I'm not endorsing a particular company here, but I do want to tell you, I heard from this company called Pillumina, P-I-L-L-U-M-I-N-A. And they say that they are ready to get into pharmacies and customers need to ask for it. So that might be an option. Pill bottles are complicated because you have FDA regulations, so it's not covered by packaging reduction laws that we're working on. But I'm encouraged that at least one big company is giving us an alternative to plastic pill bottles.
Michael, thank you for your call. Let me go through a couple that came in via text message about things that people noticed this week in the plastics challenge or things that they're citing as difficult to get rid of. Listener writes, the plastic challenge made me very aware of the huge number of scrubby kitchen sponges we go through and how we know it's time to throw them out when they start to shed microplastics into our water, cookware, and bodies, presumably. Listener writes, we just cannot find a comparable, sustainable alternative that's as durable, flexible, and effective as the traditional sponge. Thought about that?
Yeah, that's a problem. Again, we don't have to be perfect.
Yeah.
There are zero waste stores and refill stores popping up all over New York City and the country. And some of these stores offer equivalent sponges that are not made from plastic, do not shed microplastic. I often will also sometimes just use clean rags and throw the rags into the laundry. But, you know, when you have stubborn, pans, like I'm sadly multitasking and have been known to burn dinner from time to time, you really do need something that has some power to it, and steel wool. And I have seen in my supermarket, you know, like metal scrubbies, not plastic, and they work well.
An alternative. Listener writes in response to Michael's call on the pill bottles, CVS and Rite Aid have take back boxes. You can drop off unused medication along with the plastic bottles. That doesn't tell us that they actually recycle those plastic bottles or reuse them, but at least you can drop them off instead of putting them in your waste stream. A number of the texts, a lot of texts that we're getting have to do with how food is packaged. So berries, lettuce greens, one listener writes, get mushrooms out of plastic. What about all of that? And we also have a question about these very thin, that text has already gone from my screen, but I'll summarize it. These kind of very thin, what appear to be plastics, but are they even plastics, that sometimes lettuce and things like that come in the supermarket, but supposedly they're degradable?
Yeah. So not long ago, we could get all of our lettuce and our greens with no packaging at all. And you still can in many stores. But the stores are really, in terms of product positioning, the first thing you see if you want greens, I call them plastic coffins for lettuce and greens. And I'm concerned about storing greens in plastic for a long time. I find it very easy to just reach for the lettuce and the greens a little further down the produce aisle that does not come in plastic coffins. And then while we're in that part of the supermarket, I want to say a lot of people have questions about the thin plastic produce bags. It would be nice if some stores would give you the option of paper bags like it used to be.
Yeah.
But I bring cloth reusable bags with me, and I'm a busy, forgetful person. So I just leave bags, like collapsible bags, in my purse or in my car. I know not everyone in the metro area drives the car to the supermarket, but if you leave it in the car, you're more likely to remember it. And then I just toss in the reusable produce bags along with my regular bags so I don't forget.
One more from a text message, and then we're out of time. We could keep going on this for hours because there are just so many single-use plastics examples that people are chiming in with. But listener writes, I just can't kick those single-use floss picks because I don't like regular dental floss. But I'll add, Judith, that I think regular dental floss in most cases is plastic too, right? Plus it's got the microplastics coating, depending and on the PFAS. Brand.
Yeah, and PFAS, because that's what makes it slippery. Yeah, I mean, boy, this is a conflict with our dentist, isn't it? Our dentist tells us we have to keep flossing, and those little picks really are convenient. What I'm shocked at is how many of them I see littered on the street. Huh. I guess the only real alternative is the water pick, where you splash the water on your teeth. That's what I use, and really good brushing.
I know my dentist recommends the water pick.
It's expensive.
Very effective. I don't know that means don't floss, but I know they recommend it.
It probably doesn't. You're going to get calls from dentists, I guarantee you.
Yes.
I tend to use the water pick more than flossing. I will floss if I have like a very large seed in my teeth that I can't get rid of.
And I said I was going to ask you about the plastics industry TV campaign. So I saw a commercial this morning as I was taking in some news and comment on Morning Joe on MSNBC, and there was a commercial from plasticsomething.org. I didn't catch it, but it was, an industry association, and it was all about the great ways that the plastics industry is developing new, more recyclable forms of plastic so that we can have lots of convenience in our lives and it'll be good for the environment. Would you like a little rebuttal time to that?
Yeah, especially since I don't have the millions of dollars to counter program. I mean, I think the plastics industry knows that people have serious concerns about the proliferation of plastic. So they've gone on a public relations offensive. I did hear yesterday there's in the last 3 months, they spent about $600,000 just advertising on social media. I don't know the cost of their ad buy. It's a very misleading ad. I see it all the time. It ruins my evening. And the reality is plastic recycling is only 5 to 6%, because by design, most plastics are not recyclable. Keep recycling your paper, metal, glass, and cardboard. But let's be honest about the failure of plastics recycling. And then the other thing I think they're kind of alluding to is the new public relations push of something called chemical recycling, which is even worse. I think we're seeing the ads a lot in New York because Assemblymember Deborah Glick and Senator Pete Harkin are very close to passing a comprehensive packaging reduction law that would require 50% reduction in plastic packaging over 12 years. lots of information on that on our website. We're doing a lobby day and rally in Albany on May 14th. You're all invited. So I think there's probably a heavier push in the New York market than other parts of the country.
Maybe you should clarify. And by the way, I'll throw in that in response to the person with the plastic scrubby sponges, a few people have written, you know, I use a cloth dish rag and it can work really well. So just saying to that listener, at least a few people are saying that. On what you just said, and we have 30 seconds left, some plastics, even when they actually get recycled, when we put them in the recyclable stream, the recycle stream, some plastics are recyclable, some are not recyclable, and even some with numbers on the bottom are not recyclable locally. So can you give us a 30-second quick course on that?
Yeah, typically only number one and number two are recycled, but unfortunately, a lot of them are exported to other countries where it creates problems. So I want to mention tomorrow there's a screening of a wonderful film called The Story of Plastic, which talks about how the U.S. is exporting so much plastic to other countries. Hmm. This is a screening tomorrow at the Queen's Botanical Garden at 2 o'clock, part of the Climate Arts Festival. This is an Emmy awarded movie that looks at places like Vietnam, Malaysia, Philippines, and now Turkey and Africa, where the U.S. is exporting a lot of plastics and creating profound problems in those countries.
Nice. At Queen's Botanical Garden. And then you can walk around and see the plants and the flowers, which
yeah,
is actually
2 o'clock.
Two o'clock.
Tomorrow. Go. Go. It's going to be
fantastic time of year to go to the botanical gardens, too. Judith Enck, founder of Beyond Plastics and professor at Bennington College and former EPA Region 2 administrator covering New York, New Jersey, Puerto Rico, the U.S. Virgin Islands, and eight Native American nations. Judith, thank you for participating again and helping to guide our fifth anniversary Brian Lehrer Show Plastics Challenge.
With pleasure. Thank you.